from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A couple weeks ago, I was listening to First and Pod, which is now a defunct podcast. It was Danny Parkins, Andrew Filippone. 2 weeks ago on that podcast that I was listening to, he had a scathing Kevin Stefanski will be fired at the end of the season take. And you guys know I like content, and I got myself all ready for the day. I wrote it down in my little notepad section for overtime with Jonathan Peterlin, 7 to 11, right here on The Fan. And I was all ready to go. And then I got to the station, I put the audio, I had it ready to go to put into my folder, and I decided not to go ahead and put it in. I said no. I said it's not the time, it's not the place, I didn't need to be doing this. No one in Cleveland believes Kevin Stefanski is going to get fired. Nobody believes that.
I don't believe it either.
And I hadn't thought about it for a couple weeks. And then Kyle Brandt was on Bill Simmons, and I heard the morning guys bring this up, and I'll play the clip for you guys, and I'll react the way that I'm going to react, because I don't believe it to be true either, but I wonder if we are a little too close to the situation. This is Kyle Brandt on Bill Simmons' podcast.
This guy has won Coach of the Year twice. Last year, he and Joe Flacco went on this Disney movie run to the playoffs, and it was a really cool story. There is a complete and utter enigma with Kevin Stefanski's quarterback, Deshaun Watson. He has not played a good, solid season in 4 years. His last season that he played was good and healthy was the COVID year, and there was real discussion at the end of last season about the Browns have found something with Flacco. This works. They respond to him. His chemistry with Stefanski is amazing. Flacco's now gone, and it's like, all right, Deshaun Watson, this 5 years waiting for it. If we talk about the AFC North, Bill, it's like, all right, Lamar's the MVP. We're talking more about Russell Wilson and Justin Fields than Deshaun Watson, and then Burrow is Burrow. So it's like the Browns need to win a playoff game this year. They should. They were in one last year and got killed.
He showed up with a kind of attitude to begin with.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's like, for why? They spent everything to get him. He's hugely paid. He hasn't accomplished anything since some of these guys were even in the league. And it's like, if they mess up in that division, like, you could look at 6-11 really, really fast.
I think what happens sometimes, I know it's not great. I put myself in, if I were to do a national show and I was to talk about Kevin Stefanski without knowing anything else about Kevin Stefanski, I could give you his resume and you would say, well, let's do it this way. Blind resume,
okay.
I'm gonna name a random coach for you, okay? 5 years experience in the NFL, one playoff win, had a franchise quarterback some of the time, but wasn't the entirety of the time. Did have a double-digit win season. Does he deserve to go into year six?
Yes.
I'd also you say yes. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, there's nothing in my mind.
Hold on, there's a twist there.
Go.
I was describing Frank Reich, and Frank Reich didn't make it to year six. You thought I was talking about Kevin Stefanski, and everything does apply for Stefanski.
Yeah, but the Colts.
I was talking about Frank Reich. Great offensive mind, double-digit wins, one playoff win, had Andrew Luck some of the time, but not all the time. Perceived to be great around the league, and then fired year five. Like you tried going to year six, didn't work.
I don't know, man. I just feel like the Colts had won a lot more in the past. Like, the Browns have, he's turned it around.
So you believe that the, like, last year we should be looking at more than we look at the previous 3 years? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Yes.
Okay. Because if I'm Stefanski, that's the case I'm trying to make.
I think overall, Kevin Stefanski has changed the trajectory, excuse me if I could spit it out, the trajectory of this organization. They're not letting this guy go, even if they go 3-14.
I agree with you. I from a national perspective, though, you can see why this story is not going to go away if they struggle this year, right? Like you see how this is going to be a thing. And listen, Andrew Berry, you think you're safe? I took off my Cleveland sports media hat for a second, and I was thinking about Andrew Berry. He's gone through four drafts. He's drafted one Pro Bowler. He's spent more money than any other team in the NFL over the previous 2 years. Over the previous 2 years, each year, he's spent more money than any other NFL team. And in the entire stretch, he's got one playoff win to show for it. Like when you when the money faucets turn on, you got unlimited resources. You haven't really been able to draft at the high success rate that most people would want you to have drafted at. I'm sorry. If I'm trying to make a case from a national perspective that Andrew Berry should have his job into year 6, 7, or 8, and I don't know Cleveland at all, this is why this rhetoric isn't going away. Now, we know the situation, though, but this is why maybe I wonder if we're too close. Because we know the situation. We know how much Haslam appears to like both Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski, the stability that both of them offer. And I know it's a hard sell going on a national show and being like, you guys don't understand the stability that's here now. You guys don't get it. It was an awful situation. It was a place no one wanted to go, no one wanted to be. And now Cleveland Browns football is great, and it's competitive, and it's fun, and you should be rewarded for taking a team from the bottom of the basement and bringing him to the penthouse. And the stability attached to Kevin Stefanski was worth his weight in gold and is for the next 5 years. But at some point, the proof has got to be in the pudding as well. And at some point, you do have to graduate to that next step. And I think that's where the conflict between the national and the local is going to exist, Dustin.
Yeah, I mean, we're here. We're in it. We're living it. We've seen the doldrums of this organization for the last, 13 years since we've been on the air, going on 14. It's like completely different. The feel around the team, the vibe, there's not like a lot of drama. I mean, Deshaun was whatever, but now the team is, we're just talking about football. And honestly, How many years did we talk about the team and like just kind of have this hope that maybe they would make the playoffs? Now it's the expectation.
You're right. We've changed the expectations. I love that. And I also like the idea that we do just talk football for the most part as well. None of the other stuff. I love John Dorsey. I think John Dorsey was great. When John Dorsey was here, it was a circus. That was a clown show in many respects. He was a great drafter. I thought he was great at acquiring talent as well. He's a great football mind. That's the dude that drafted Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and decided to go ahead and make Andy Reid the head coach in Kansas City, okay? Mm-hmm. He knows football. If anybody knows football, John Dorsey knows football. Drafted Nick Chubb, drafted Denzel Ward, drafted David Njoku, all these guys, right? But, I mean, he let everyone and anyone into that house. Like, if you wanted to, you could snoop around in 3 seconds and then get a story. And it was just like, oh, another big fire that is in Berea that somebody has to put out. And they started winning, so we all kind of went with it. But, man, those Freddie Kitchens years, the Hugh Jackson years.
It was brutal.
I mean, it was nonstop. It was 24/7. We have none of that now.
No.
This was the quietest offseason I think we've ever had. It's all gone away. And I think that's why maybe the Browns fan looks at this and says, Jimmy Haslam has to love what's going on here right now. Because you're not a laughing stock anymore. People aren't looking at the Browns and saying, same old Browns. They're looking at the Browns and saying, it's a good football team. See what they have defensively? Yeah, they got Pro Bowlers on three levels of the defense. Offensively, yeah, we don't know what Deshaun is going to be. But for the most part, people are looking at it and saying, if Deshaun is good, this team can go very far. And we're having real football conversations, talking about beating teams like the Cowboys in Week 1 to then beat the Eagles in Week 5 and the importance of something like that. Like, it, real football conversations that just really didn't exist in years prior. And I think that might be the Stefanski effect that I think some of the national people are probably missing out on here, Dustin.
Yeah, I mean, the national people, like I said, they just don't get it. They're not around. Like, all that they can do is look at the outside perspective. It's the same with the Cavaliers.
Mm-hmm.
And JB, we had people coming on and saying, why would you even think about firing JB? Look, okay, come.
Put Geltzauer's name on it.
I didn't put his name on it.
No, I just didn't. I love that guy.
Oh, I think he's great.
He's
too.
So good,
but
though.
He was one of the, advocates for not firing JB Bickerstaff.
Yeah, he was
kind of the opposite situation here. We think Kevin is safe, and some people think he could be on the hot seat. It's like the exact opposite.
I mean, we
deal.
Did show after show where it was like, it's obvious that JB is dead man walking, and then we'd have all these national people come on, and it was just like, are we watching the same NBA? Is this happening? Because this is not, it's not the conversation we're having, but it throws you into a little bit of it fries your brain, Dustin.
It does.
Because I'm sitting here and I hear Kyle Brandt suggest 6-11. 6-11 never crossed my mind. And I don't know, maybe it's because we won 11 games last year where it felt like the sky did fall. We were in everything that could go wrong did go wrong. And so I just look at winning 11 games that way. I just don't know how we ever get to a spot where this team only ends up with 6 wins, even if everything does go wrong. I just don't. My brain doesn't compute that. It's like an error in programming there. I don't know how Kyle Brandt got there. I don't know how anyone could get there looking at this team.
Yeah. That is an absolutely fair question.
I mean, but then again, maybe people hear me talk about the Steelers and how I say I could find an avenue for them to get to 6 or 7 wins easily. And maybe there's a host in Pittsburgh that's like, I just don't understand this Jonathan Peterlin guy.
Well, and there's also an avenue that Pittsburgh could win double-digit games.
Certainly. Certainly.
I mean, they kind of always do.
Well, they always get to the postseason.
Yeah.
And I think the difference for me in this conversation, Dustin, is that, and I'll know whether or not at the end of the season Deshaun and Kevin Stefanski are on the right page. When you get to the postseason, do you feel like you're the Steelers against the Bills last year where they were dead man walking, or do you feel like you have a chance? And I think if you can say with confidence that you feel like you should win that playoff game, then I think you're in a good spot. I told you this before. Joe Flacco, if he would have advanced against the Texans, and we were favorites again in that game against the Texans, but if they were to have advanced and took on the Ravens, I didn't think they were going to beat the Ravens in that game. I didn't think that was going to happen. And I think that's probably why I had a limitation for myself on Joe Flacco. If Deshaun Watson is going up against Baltimore or Kansas City or Buffalo or Miami or one of the top teams in the AFC, and I'm looking at it and I'm saying, yeah, the line's pretty close. This makes sense. We have a real chance to win this thing. That's how I think I'll mark the success. And that's how I'll know Stefanski and Watson worked. I'm asking you now. How do I know? Yeah, like what will be that identifier for you? Like that guy in Cleveland tweeted at us and he said, if by the end of the season we fail to get to a Super Bowl, we ditch Stefanski and insert Schwartz in the head coaching position.
Silly.
That seems a little silly to me. Like you make it to the Super Bowl, you make it to the AFC title game, you know Stefanski and Watson worked. It's not debatable. That worked.
You got to remember, like, you're not, I don't know, like, this team needs to just make the playoffs. Like, that should be the goal. Basically, this is, like, almost Deshaun's, like, rookie year, so to speak, with the Browns. Like, it's first year where I expect him to play every game. It's not, there's no suspension. I hope he stays healthy. He should be healthy right now, we think, going into the year. And I think it's silly and unrealistic to think that they would go to the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl. Certainly they could, and like I'm all for it, but I'm not going to hold them to that standard this year.
Especially not in the AFC.
I mean, I think it's unfair to hold the Chiefs to a standard, that, and they're the best team in the league, I think, to hold them to a standard like Super Bowl or bust.
In this AFC, I think it's really tough to hold anybody to that standard. I agree with that. We'll talk to Ken Carman coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. Ken in Seattle, traveling, out and about. And he's on the part of the call for the preseason game number 3. So we'll talk to Ken coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. We obviously got the polls coming up in about 20 minutes. Right now we're asking you guys, how will you know if Stefanski and Deshaun actually work? And I think there's a way to measure it. Now listen, it's always going to be, and I think it's fair to say this, Dustin, I think we're always going to look at it as a moving target of sorts, right? I think what you say right now might end up being different at the end of the year, and I would use Sean McDermott as Exhibit A on that one. Right now, there's a lot of people in Buffalo asking themselves, is Sean McDermott the right guy for Josh Allen long term? Josh Allen is, in my opinion, the third best quarterback in the sport, and he's been to one AFC title game. That falls on the head coach sometimes.
No, it absolutely does. You know, I played for Sean McDermott in Philadelphia. He's my DB coach. He was a great DB coach. I don't know that he's a great head coach. I'm certainly not in that building. I am a Bills fan because my son loves him and I played there. So I'd like to see them. You know, we were at the Chiefs game last year. Saw my son cry when they lost the Chiefs. I mean, it's a deal.
It's a deal. Yeah,
And they wish you happy birthday
every year.
Yeah, I love. Yeah, and they let me come for free to games, so it's cool.
Do they change up the photo every year, or do they give you do they at least like get a different Getty image of you playing in a Bills uniform, or is it the same one every year?
Oh, I have no idea. What do you mean? Okay. What do they use it for? Oh, the happy birthday
thing.
That's
birthday.
The NFLPA.
Oh, that's not even the Bills? I thought the Bills did that.
No.
Does the NFLPA switch it up?
I don't think so.
It's still nice they do it. Yeah. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people that are part of the NFLPA.
They just hit the Google images quickly or the Getty and then take whatever they can find.
It's a nice
find.
Gesture. Listen, but, no one's wishing me happy birthday every year.
But to actually finish my point, McDermott may have to go. Because it's not working right now. Like this, he's on the super on the hot seat this year.
I think he's very good with the ownership there, and I think that's been well established. The same way I think the Haslams are very good with Kevin Stefanski right now. But yes, this is it can be a moving target of sorts. You can have success with Deshaun this year and then think to yourself, well, that was great. Now I need to up the ante. For myself this year, and how I know Stefanski and Deshaun are going to work is what I told you last segment, Dustin, and that is the idea that if I get to a spot where in the postseason I look at the game and I think to myself, we're not a doormat. We have a real chance to not only win this game, we have a real chance to compete in the AFC and have a chance to hang with the Mahomes, the Allens, the Burrows, the Herberts, those type of guys. Lamar, everyone else you could throw. Then I'll feel good. I feel like that is a success. That's what we're looking for. I know just being competitive can't be the answer, but I think for this year, for right now, I think we'll know it's working if that is the answer.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I just think that Stefanski's in a different spot than like a McDermott. That he's had opportunities there, and his quarterback's been healthy, and he's had so many weapons on the offensive side of the ball. They fired Ken Dorsey, you know, in the middle of the season, and now he's here.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
I don't know that it was Dorsey's fault, by the way.
That offense seemed like it changed overnight when Dorsey was gone, though. I mean, what they did is, I don't blame Dorsey, because what Dorsey did, and we're not going to relitigate what happened with the Bills. What he did was like, hey, Stephon Diggs is good at football. I'm going to try to give him the ball. And then Joe Brady came in there and was like, you know what we're going to do instead? All right, we're going to ignore Stephon Diggs and we're going to run the ball a lot. And like, it worked. It worked. It was a good plan for Buffalo at the time. I think Ken Dorsey's philosophy was much better. I listened to, we'll get to your phone calls in a second. If you're hanging, hang tight. I listened to Boston Radio earlier today. They were really making fun of Alex Van Pelt. It's not going well for Van Pelt. Like, I think Dorsey has a chance to be an upgrade over Van Pelt in many respects. One of the hosts related the hiring of Alex Van Pelt to you being the drunk guy at the end of the night. And it's like, hey, you're drunk. You're ugly. I'm drunk. Let's go home. And that's how they ended up with Alex Van Pelt as the offensive coordinator. They can't stand that he's their guy. He went to the podium yesterday and said they have a chance to have a decent offense.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine the confidence that installs into the fan base. They're going to look decent this year. You're like, you're the offensive
coordinator. I guess you set the bar low.
You're the offensive coordinator. You can't even say it looks good. It's going to be fine. You're like, I think decent.
How about you say, listen, I think we're going to have a chance.
This thing is much better than decent. Well, and then he tried acting like the experience he had. He tried acting like the offense we had here was the greatest show on turf offense. And that was also really comical. But neither here nor there. 216-474-0092. Justin, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? How we doing?
Hey, Justin, what's happening, man?
So the McDermott comparison's interesting because, you know, the X factor with him is he's had a healthy Allen this whole time, and I think we all, you know, crave to have that discussion about if our coach is on the hot seat with a healthy Watson over the last 3 years making the playoffs. But to this year, I mean, it's just one thing and one thing only. Deshaun's obviously got to be healthy, and it's double-digit wins. If it's not double-digit wins, I mean, something's not working. We can figure out what that is later. But if Deshaun's not healthy, then I think that's a whole other basket case of a conversation that I think we all know what that's going to lead to. So, for me, it's just double-digit wins, just cut and dry. Win ball games. Show us it's working.
All right, thank you, Justin.
I think it's a really good take. It's a measured take about the season. And, you know, it doesn't guarantee you're going to make the playoffs. But if the team doesn't win 9, 10, 11 games, I do think there will be some disappointment.
So my only problem with the double-digit wins is that I can't tell you I thought the Steelers were a doormat when they got in the game against Buffalo, and then tell you, and by the way, Steelers went 10-7 last year. So I can't tell you double-digit wins, and then you just get to get walked over and beat by 14, and the game wasn't competitive in the slightest bit, and me say that it was like, you know what I mean? Like, that should be what we're seeking out. I'm going to use the Dolphins as a new example here. The Dolphins last season.
Have you seen Mike McDaniel lately?
Yeah. Looks like Mike McDaniel hasn't seen Mike McDaniel in a while. I'll tell you that much.
I'm digging the look, man.
I think he looks pretty cool. I think also the Maybe Narcos pretty references cool. are pretty right as far as that is also concerned. He's a cool guy.
He's a great guy.
He's a cool guy. He's amazing. Seems fun. I like that him and Dan Soder are like really good friends.
He's not doing the Columbia Bam Bam.
Yeah, there's something about the fact that they both grew up together. Dan Soder is like a really famous comic, if you don't know, and then Mike McDaniel, and then being like childhood friends that I just love. I like when really famous people in different intersections, not one that's like, oh, you're my famous friend, or you're famous and I'm your friend, so I'm going to make you famous too. Not one of those deals. I like when two people grew up and then it's like, oh, you're a famous football player, and then but you're also a famous actor, and then you just happen to be great both at the same. You both came from the same spot, though. I don't know why I think that's cool. So the two of them being friends is fun. But I bring up the Dolphins because the Dolphins were an 11-win team last year. I believe they were favored against the Chiefs. It might have changed by the time kickoff actually got underway because Tua can't play in the cold weather, and it is what it is. But throughout the regular season, they didn't beat a single team that was over 500 with the exception of one game against the Cowboys, mm-hmm. who sucked on the road the entire season long, and that game was played in Miami. Like when the season was done, we all knew Miami was a little bit more than fraudulent based on the idea that they hadn't beaten a good team. And when you look at their win-loss record, and I went back and I checked it up last night just to double-check as I was having some of these thoughts, their losses were to the Bills, to the Eagles, to the Chiefs, to the Titans, to the Ravens, and then the Bills. Every team they played that was good, they lost to. Every team they played that was bad, they beat. If that's the theme of the Browns season, then yeah, I don't know that I'm going to be like, this thing works. Because it's fine. You could beat a bad team and a bad group of teams. I need you to beat the good teams. I do. I need that. And that's why, like, even last year, when Stefanski and company, with a backup quarterback, beat San Francisco, the team that ended up going to the Super Bowl last year, even though Moody missed the kick and everything like that, that's a big defining win for a reason. Like, that was a this-team-can-do-it type win. I need Watson and Stefanski to have a few of those. And if the season comes through, again, this is why you can get to double-digit wins and it be just a little fraudulent. Dolphins won 11 games last year. Nobody thought they were going deep in the postseason at that point. Because you knew. You knew the teams that they'd played. The good ones, they'd lost. Bad ones, they'd beat.
Yeah.
Bob up next. What's up, Bob?
Bob.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great, hey, man. How are you?
Great. I'm just, you know, we're talking about the coach and the quarterback, and I think we're done with both of them. You know, the Watson experiment is just about done. I mean, we could see it because even when he played, he only had spurts of looking good here and there. And that's not what the Browns need, including.
I don't agree with that.
Coach. Excuse me?
I don't agree with that. The final three games we watched Deshaun Watson play were the three best games we've ever seen him play in a Browns uniform.
In a Browns uniform, but we don't want him.
No,
playing
but those,
like
those were unquestionably
play.
Great.
We want to see him playing.
No. The Titans game and the Arizona game we don't talk about because the defenses were so good. Those are great. Those are 120 passer rating and like a 115 passer rating. Those games are great anywhere. That travels.
I have that no trades problem on time. With that. He should be playing at that level. Period. And since he's not, they should be getting as much run from him as possible through the preseason. Everybody should be playing. Didn't Denzel Ward, he got hurt, and he wasn't in a preseason game, so you can get hurt at any time. We need to go through the season, into the season, with a strong team that we know is ready to run, not going in with all the starters coming in and guessing what they're supposed to do. That's what it looked like. The Browns always look like they don't even practice.
Okay, but okay. Bob, you change your take on us here a little bit, and that's fine. You got the right to do that, but you know, our will he, won't he play in the preseason? Should he be playing more? That was the first hour. That was hour number one. We're moving the conversation. How will we know if Stefanski and Deshaun works? And what Bob was starting to say, I just didn't want to let it slide. Last night I took a call, and I let this guy slide a little bit too long, Dustin. I was like, he's going to bring it home. And then we'll end up on even footing, and he's going to be like, JP, love the show. You do a fantastic job. Thanks for having me on. We just disagree on one little thing. And then we never got to that. We never got to the nice point. So I'm in a little bit of a feisty mood with the callers today, and I understand that. And so that's why, Bob, I need to correct you right off the bat. And I can't let it slide that Deshaun was just okay last year, and all we ever saw was okay Deshaun. Because the last three games we saw him play, he was sensational in those three games. We just don't talk about it because the defense was so good. Mm-hmm. I've talked about it all offseason. That Titans game, you held Derrick Henry to 20 total yards on 11 carries. Titans scored 3 points in that game. Like they dominated. And so obviously the conversation had to be on the defense. But look at Deshaun's numbers in that game. Look at Deshaun in that game. He was sensational. Arizona, the defense shut him out. What's the storyline going to be after that game? It's not how great Deshaun Watson was. It's how great the defense was.
Yeah, the defense has been tremendous. And I think it's going to continue to get better this year. And with Deshaun battling some of this injury stuff, I do think this team will probably have an identity based around the defense.
Yeah, I think that's what it's going to event. I think it's what it's going to end up being.
Yeah, but that's okay.
It does overshadow the moments that Deshaun really was good. The last three games we watched him play, it just gets overshadowed. It got overshadowed in the moment, and then in all offseason, it's gotten overshadowed. Mm. Jack up next. What's up, Jack?
Hey, Jack.
Yo, what's up, guys? First of all, that Alex Van Pelt analogy was crazy, and you know it. That's hilarious. Second of all, I have a hot take, but this is kind of a hear-me-out sort of thing.
Okay.
But if Deshaun Watson does not play to expectations this season, then we will be tied with the Cowboys for the worst quarterback situation in the league. And let me tell you why I think this. Because here's the thing. Dak Prescott can't win in the playoffs. Deshaun Watson, even if he is, I think he could take the team to a playoffs with just mediocre play, but it's not going to get past that if we don't see, you know, Houston Deshaun come out. Because here's the thing. If he continues to not live up to contract expectations, look, I agree he was great the last three games, but the obviously issue is, can he play? Can he be on the field? Can he be present? And obviously we haven't seen that, but if we find out after this year that he can't stay healthy or he ends up playing terribly, how much, kind of like Dak Prescott, how much better can you get from, like, you can't just, what are you going to do? Are you going to tank for a great quarterback? Or, I mean, like, because, like, all the other great quarterbacks in the league are going to take you towards the promised land are locked up with their team. Pat Mahomes is locked up. Allen's locked up. All these other guys, even guys like Trevor Lawrence, who Jacksonville has a lot of faith in, like, you can't really take a step up from where you're at right now if you're the Cowboys or if you're the Browns. So
agreed.
You're kind of just in a stuck situation where you have no choice but to bank on the guy.
Yeah, there's a reason why Tampa Bay had to pay Baker $100 million. Like, it's like there's no other options out there. You either draft a quarterback or you're stuck, as you said, right now.
Yeah, exactly. I don't even think Baker. Look, I think Baker was great last season, and as a Browns fan, I'm happy to see him doing as well as he has, and have kind of like this resurgence in his career. But Baker should be a placeholder. I think that's what all the Steelers right. are doing with Wilson. Like, they're not banking on this guy being their franchise quarterback. They want somebody win you a few games.
No, and they're buying themselves time in the meanwhile. That's really what they're doing. And Jack, I appreciate you, man. Good call. Thank you. All right. Yeah. He's not wrong. But it's a conversation for a year from now. Not for right now.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.